see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are cold, dry, and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Armies in the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Hey, welcome to the Worship for Jesus Bible study for tonight. Welcome back. We had something this afternoon. Family, let's say I'm leading the... My name is Thomas Campbell. I'm the host of this show tonight, this Bible study. You know, if I was going to lead a platoon, and I said, of Marines, and I said, we're going to go to war, and we're going to go fight these people, or this group, this enemy. Now, say... they've got weapons, but I'm going to give you slingshots. Here's your rocks. Let's go fight. I don't think I'd be a commander very long. Sure wouldn't win any war that way. You got to have the tools of which to go against the enemy. Everything going on today is based on the occult. It's based on the supernatural. Everything. I mean, you won't find any event of prominence, period of history, wars, financial, doesn't matter what, everything that you can name is based on the supernatural, the demonic desires for a new world order. Is exactly what's going on today. Everybody's trying to figure it out on their own. They're trying to solve it on their own. It's never worked, yet people still try. Sickness is caused, sometimes not always, by demonic interference and interruptions and so forth. Certainly, things happen to people that's not necessarily connected to supernatural influence. But you can bet the supernatural will use it. But 80-90% of physical ailments, of troubles at work, family problems. And they give you prescription drugs to solve it. They give you Dr. Phil. And it never works. The things that, like Reiki, healing, doesn't cure it. It just makes the pain go away. Pain going away doesn't cure it. It's all based on supernatural interference. Everything is. The plans of America, how we got here, it's all based on a Luciferian agenda. And prayer has got us through. But Satan is still prince of the world. He does not sleep. Fallen angels, they don't sleep. They never stop. They can't stop. From our perspective of the materialistic world, 24/7, 7 days a week, every month out of the year, they never sleep. Satan doesn't say, well, I'm going to rest, guys. Just, it doesn't work that way. They can't rest. They can't stop moving, changing frequencies. Yet people don't want to study. They want to take a slingshot into war. And that's why God loves them, that when this thing happens, he's going to take all that away that they hold on to so they'll have to come to him. Because right now, everybody's focused on technology, dancing with the stars, golf. Tomorrow, work, got to get up early, go to bed, eat a quick meal. Oh, I got to do that tomorrow. I got to get my hair cut. Oh, blah, blah, blah. That's what everybody's worried about. When God takes it all away, then they'll come to him. Or not. Tonight, I'm going to talk about several issues. I want to talk about a little bit about demonized Christians. Yep. A little bit about suicide, and we'll see how far we get on the importance of a confession. You know, finding that an hour Bible study just isn't enough. Because by the time I get through talking and do the prayer and everything going on, it's already about 25 minutes past or 20 minutes past. And I really, really got to hit the ground running like the Roadrunner. Maybe, you know, way at the ground. Because 1 hour, I can do an hour and a half, 2 hours easily a Bible study. Let's get started. Lord, thank you tonight for bringing us together in this Bible study. Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for our sins. Father, lead us tonight in a study, Lord, about how to deal with the enemy tonight. Father, to give us solutions. Father, forgive us of our sins. We confess you to you, our sins. Bring before you, we acknowledge them. Lay them before you on the cross. Father, to help us engage and to defeat the demonic realm, Lord, through your Son, Jesus Christ, spiritual warfare, to Father, how to do it. We pray, Lord, for tonight for Sister Mac and the friends that, Father, that the family that had that death of a child, and Father, the healing on the prayers that we prayed for Sister Mac. And Lord, to help her in their ministry. And Lord, touch the hearts of those to make them hungry for God's word. We thank you, Lord, for the King James Bible. And Lord, to help us get prepared for what's to come in the future. These I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done. In heaven, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You know, right now, I've said this many times, we have the luxury of being able to study, go through it leisurely. But back in the days when the Vatican was murdering, when the Caesars were murdering after those Christians and Jews, those who followed Jesus in those days, they weren't just hanging around, sitting and studying. They were hiding, but they were protected, and some of them didn't. Sometimes God allowed the test to happen. Death happened. Hundreds of years. But those deaths resulted in conversions of those that were pagan. There's coming a time when this is all going to go away, but family, we're coming down to it. The time of change is just bound upon us. A lot of people aren't going to be prepared for it. I see it every day. Satan's got people's minds moved around different ways. They got those, I get around to it eventually. Well, there's coming a time when you better get around to it, because that's your front doorstep. Ailments that we have in our bodies and thoughts and so forth are come from outside influence. The Bible talks about suicide. Suicide, 26 veterans a day are killing themselves. 26 per day. You know, I could go into what they got a nose spray. You know, it'd be antidepressant nose spray to stop anti-suicide nose spray. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? And Joint Chief of Staff are involved in this. I don't see how they live with themselves. I really don't see it. 20 to 26 suicides per day. Children killing themselves. Adults killing themselves that are non-military. And military, 26 per day. Can you imagine how many per day are dying? Suicides. Suicides. Wow. The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. Don't be a fool. Why? Die before your time. Ecclesiastes 7:17. People try to justify it. I had some Christians that tried to justify it. I said, well, if you do die, you go to heaven. I said, what? If you kill yourself, you go to heaven. I said, really? Where'd you get that from? Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Thou shouldest thou die before thy time? Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Be not righteous overmuch, neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Bible tells you, why die before that time? So there's a time you're going to die. God knows when. He's going to bring you home. People are afraid of death. We're taught from school, called death education, to be afraid of death. When you're afraid of death, you're afraid of life, and you've lost your faith. What does the Bible say about suicide? How does God view it? You know, life is a precious gift that human beings have been given. You have a chance to be alive on this earth and play a part in the grand scheme in God's eternal plan. And it's a privilege indeed. When you do His will, you kind of know it. You get those little prickly feelings in your body when you've done something good. Sometimes it's not because it's a cold chill coming in. Sometimes it's an angel may come by you. Holy Spirit touching you. You know, when you've done the right thing, you feel a weight lifted off of you. The time goes by fast, or you don't feel the weight that you've something missing. Despite this, there's times when life becomes so difficult or just unbearable that many have at some time or another wished they were dead or never been born. For some, the feelings linger. If they linger long enough, and suicide seems to be the only escape. In fact, in the United States, suicide rates tripled in teen and young adults in the past 40 years. You know, it also, suicide is a breaking of the sixth commandment. You shall not murder. Murdering yourself. We have no right to kill ourselves because we're ransomed. We are God's creation. When you were born, your little old heart started beating as an embryo. God had a plan for you. We're not to murder each other or ourselves. We're created in God's image. We carry a potential to overcome the evil, and God gives us that opportunity to do it or not. Knowing what we're going to do, He still gives us the opportunity. Still knowing what we're going to do. He knows what you're going to do. He has that extra dimensional capacity to see the future that Satan doesn't have. We like to think that there's time travelers out there. There's no time travelers out there. It's a second heaven, back and forth, to and fro. Only God has the ability to go through time. They don't have that power. Because God wouldn't give it to them. There's no way. There's certain dimensions they don't have the capacity to fulfill or to carry out. If you're a Christian, following Jesus, not necessarily connected to Christianity, but you're a Christian, isn't connected to Christianity. Christianity is a religion. Being a Christian is following Jesus. And you say, well, close Christianity. You're confusing me. And I say, well, no. Tell me about which part of Christianity follows Jesus. Does Mormons? No. Jehovah's Witness? No. Universalism? No. Roman Catholicism? Not really. They got Mary, rosary beads, the Pope. All the holidays are pagan. You ever think about it? Not about religion. It's about Jesus. It's not about your pope, priest, pastor, rabbi. You know, Joel Osteen, I call them Joel Osteen concerts. Joel Osteen has a concert here in somewhere in North Carolina. I make it my business to know where exactly, but it's around here somewhere in North Carolina. I call it a Joel Osteen concert. He's charging $15 to come to one of his concerts. And I'll tell you one thing. If I ever met that boy, I'd make sure there was no thunderstorm, because I sure wouldn't walk beside him in his thunderstorming. If I was walking beside him, I'd make sure I was wearing rubber shoes. Family, you don't charge. You don't have a ministry and you charge to come to it. I mean, you just don't do that. You just don't do it. We have lost our way. Big time. That judgment's coming. So, suicide. Few people are going to argue that the fact that suicide is a breaking the sixth commandment. Simple as that. Self-murder. And we no longer belong to ourselves, but to God. Humanism, you belong to yourself. How's that going so far? You ever seen these stars, the top 10 stars or top 20 or whatever thing they got that destroyed themselves with plastic surgery. Have you ever seen such a thing? It changes DNA. Well, that's a no-brainer. Meth does too. Drugs change DNA. When you start going against God's creation, how you are, it's got to be messing something up. It always does. Always. We're responsible to guard that which He's entrusted to us. Suicide is a grievous sin that seriously hurts both the heart of God and those who love the deceased. The pain of losing a loved one who took their own life is not easily healed. Often isn't fully healed until heaven. Whether you're contemplating suicide and know someone who's killed themselves, God wants you to know that there's hope in life for you. If only people could understand that. He's a great healer and restorer of what's been lost or stolen. The military, they have them do things beyond their training to cause them to have enough guilt by design. They perform abominations that the occult knows will cause them this guilt, self-hate. Then they pump them full of drugs. The voices they hear, the technology, the possession, when they come back here, for some, they just can't deal with it and they kill themselves or so forth. That's what it's all about, unfortunately. So to slow things down so they don't get any help, the military forms up organizations that's going to help them, that's designed to not help them in reality. You've heard me talk about this before. Many of the greatest saints and heroes of the Bible faced overwhelming depression and sometimes wrote that they wished they'd never been born. King David, Psalms 13, 2-4. Prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah 20, verse 14-18. And Job, 7, verse 15-16. Among others, all reached low points where they despaired of the very lives lost. They weren't perfect in the Bible. David certainly wasn't. That's why you can tell the Bible is written for truth, because if the Bible was not, they wouldn't show the weaknesses of David. It's in the bloodline of where Jesus comes from, his bloodline. They show the weaknesses, they show everything in the Bible. Psalms 13, 2-4. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, Lord, O God, lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy says, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I'm moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. He's honest about it. I've thought about this. Well, how long is he going to let the enemy fight over me? How many times you hear this, people talk to you? How long is God going to let this last? Why is he letting this happen? Instead of looking in the mirror. Jeremiah 20. In Jeremiah 20, 14-18. Cursed be the day when I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, a man child is born unto thee, making him very glad. And let that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew and repented not. And let him hear the cry of the morning and the shouting at noontide. See, they weren't perfect. They weren't perfect. This is without technology. They're using technology today to kill off our troops. You have children using Ouija board that once the demonic entities are done playing with them on these Ouija boards back and forth, then they turn ugly. Is that not how Satan works? Even in the religious world and friends, they get your confidence just like some of these, a lot of these theologians have. People that come on your YouTube and your Facebook. Oh, I love God. I love Jesus. Oh, yeah, bless you. Bless me. Bless this. Bless that. And then about a month later, or 2 months later, they change. Little deviations from the scripture. Wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, what are you talking about here? And then they start arguing. Oh, you're blind. What? Yeah, you have no discernment. What, you're like, what? Where's this coming from? And they turn on you, just like that. That's how Satan works. So this is what the Ouija board does. The Ouija board brings demons to those children, literally, and adults that play with it. Dungeons and Dragons and Ouija board and all that. And it's cute. You know, it's like, wow, that, ooh, they answered the question. How did they know that? Wow. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, they even have names. Then before you know it, things start happening in your house. It's not good. They just turn on you. That's supernatural. Something Dr. Phil can't fix. And I'm sure if you go to a psychiatrist, he'll have a name for it and give you a pill and say, come back and see me the next week. It will not solve it. All these men were blessed of God, persevered through their trials as an example to us. They faced great suffering and injustice. They kept their faith in God. They kept their faith in God and His goodness. And in doing so, it sustained and led us abundant life. But today, we're taught to feel bad about ourselves. So Satan makes you feel better in certain ways. You try to give a compliment, say, to a waitress or something, and you say, oh, yeah, it's a really nice brooch you got, or you do a really good job, or something good. They just kind of blush and kind of automatically say, no, he's just lying to me. I'm not really that good. That's how I've been taught. It's by design. To take away that good feeling. Cover themselves up with makeup. That's men, you get that big waist, that's terrible. Oh, look at me. I got a walking balloon. Oh, I'm ugly. Black is beautiful. You see what they did? What they did to black people? Put them down. Then they come up with a jingles to bring them back up again. So you'll have a conflict. It's all been designed through the system. You subjugate, build them up, manipulate, and then use them. That's how it's always been for everybody. We're all in a spiritual battle. People get depressed from time to time. Sometimes it's instigated. Technology can do it. But our own selves, we cause troubles. Sometimes troubles happen without us causing it. You get depressed, believe that the act of suicide never takes place apart from demonic influences driving one to take their own life, but suicide is directly counter to the power of life that God's put strongly in His creation. If they commit suicide, they never had the Holy Spirit in the first place. If the Holy Spirit's inside, the Holy Spirit's not going to allow them to murder themselves. Everywhere we look, we see life growing, even the most hostile environments. So this survival instinct is a gift from God, the God particle, you might say. And if He didn't have this gift and give it to us, that His creation would probably wouldn't be any life on this planet at all. Is that not what happened in the days of Noah? Set out to destroy all of God's creation, almost succeeded. And God was already one step ahead. Well, actually, he's a whole step ahead. Suicide is directly contrary to the will of God. It solely originated in the realm of the demonic host. Steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. We have the power over the devil as demons. He cannot push you to do this if we sincerely call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in these times. See, we're all in a spiritual battle that the psychiatrist and Dr. Phils won't never be able to solve. Make you feel good for the next couple of days and it's over with. A lot of people are not aware of it. Don't know how to protect ourselves against attack. Satan don't want you to know this. It's one of his main weapons. It's hard to answer the question that all those who commit suicide go immediately to hell. That's a hard question to answer. The Bible never really says that this is the case. Just out and out. Inference, were they born again in the first place and so forth. But it doesn't say exactly if you commit suicide that you're going straight to hell. The Bible's, for the most part, is silent on the issue, and God probably didn't address it in black and white for maybe a reason. Look at it from another perspective. If we knew that we would still go to heaven if we killed ourselves, there'd probably be a lot more suicides taking place than there already are. You know that would be true. Everybody says of their relative or friend or son or daughter that committed suicide, well, they're in a better place now. Well, think about it for a minute. If I thought all this is happening, the bills are coming down on me, all this is going on, man, I'm ready to jump out. Punch open the door, jump out of the plane. It's going down anyway, so I'm out of here. I'm going to heaven. I see up there. Whew! Suicides would exponentially increase. However, if you knew that all those who kill themselves were automatically banished to hell, no matter what the situation, it may be too much for the grief-stricken family and friends to even bear. Committed suicide, he's gone to hell. Can you imagine the grief that that would also present? That's why people don't want to think about a relative that they loved being in hell. They think because they're Freemason and they've taken the blood oath to Lucifer and they've died that, well, they did really good job. They really, you know, they were kind and all this and all that, doing good deeds. They went to heaven. They can't imagine that their grandfather, father, mother, whatever, went to hell. Because they weren't saved. So they justify and change the doctrine of the Bible just to satisfy the thought that, or the fear that their relative that they loved went to hell. They can't imagine. That's something you can't fathom. Murder and suicides are not unpardonable sin. The only unforgivable sins, it says, are rejecting Christ, blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Mark 3:28-29, King James Bible. Verily I say unto you, All sins shall be forgiven you, forgiven unto the sons of men. Blasphemies, wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. All of the sins can be forgiven. However, anyone contemplating suicide may be in danger of going to hell, as a relationship with the Lord is not intact at that point. Better said, those who consider suicide may have a severed, cut-off relationship with the Lord. Therefore, would enter the real hell, which is worse than the hellish feelings that they're experiencing at the moment. They don't realize it. It's important. Some of them think, because they're in universalism, that they'll just kill themselves and just be self-annihilated. That's where annihilation comes from. Soul sleep. Well, I just kill myself. I go to sleep. Soul sleep. That's a heresy it's taught. And God will say, wakey, wakey. It's time for judgment now. Okay, I judge you to be separated from me, and now I'm going to banish you, and I'm going to annihilate you. Oh, really? Okay. So I just go out of existence. I didn't want to stick around anyway. Being up in heaven playing harps is not my thing. It's kind of boring, probably. Look at the life I'm having here. I'm having fun. But it don't work that way. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. And of course, the opposite would be true as well. Energy is not destroyed, it just continues on. God judges us each individually. He weighs all the factors of our lives and our beliefs and our motives. Each one of us is so intricate and complex. So really only God can judge us in total truth and wisdom without favoritism. I've heard so many times of those within 2, 3, or 4 days of death, those in hospice and those in other areas, they look past you. They look past you. Who's he looking at? I don't know. Like he's looking at something else. Talking to unseen things. Anton LaVey was screaming on his way to hell. Because the occult believed that they're going to advance into the next realm. That's where it's promoted suicide and death. It's a good thing. Well, I'll tell you what, Anton LaVey didn't think so when he was dying 2, 3 days before he died. And the hour before he died was screaming. He was not a happy camper. As testimony confirms, most important truth of all is that each of us will stand before the throne and give account of our lives at the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment. If you lived in intimately with the sobering truth, much of the sin in the church and the world would immediately be stopped if they knew this. But the churches are leading them away. God's grace never means that we have a free license to sin. Although some people are taught that. I've talked to Christians that said, oh yeah, I can do what I want to because Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I'm forgiven, so I can do what I want. I said, say what? What do you mean? Someone told me that about last week. This guy did. I said, what are you talking about? Somebody else in the bookstore poked his head around and said, wait a minute, I heard y'all talking. He chimed in too. I said, you can't just do what you want to do and think you're born again or God's going to say, you know, it means you're not saved in the first place. He said, well, I go to Baptist church. I said, really? I said, well, I'll tell you what, you better quit going to that one. Those who willfully sinned after knowing God's grace are in far greater danger than those who know less. You see. You know, you may feel that God is far from you right now, and He's much nearer than you really think. He's even speaking to you through these words, and to open up your ears and hear Him tell you how valuable your life is, and it really is. They try to tell you it's not, but it really is. You're not needed on this earth, and the purpose of your life has not yet been fulfilled. You are needed, though. The day you're born, you're needed. You just have to find it through prayer and fasting. God loves you. And so do many people around you. Sometimes strangers that you don't even know yet. God would not be God if He couldn't work out your situation if you really call upon His name. He won't give you more than you can handle, but He's going to release you right up to the trough. Depression is often anger and a host of other type of emotions, and they've turned inward and become frozen. So if you're carrying anger and resentment or bitterness or unforgiveness or frustration, jealousy, despair, being feeling worthless and hopeless, these are demonic influences. Fearfulness, vengeance, and our self-pity in your heart. Turn these things over to God and begin to receive healing as soon as possible, now, and in faith, and declare it. Be patient. Confess it to God. Ask Him for your help, or His help, in releasing it to Him. Can't do it by yourselves. And you can't do it, and you see, that's why, in the Catholic Church, I confess my sins to the priest or father or 10 buck two, whoever, and depend on him to pray for me? Do you see the impact of that doctrine? I confess to a priest that I can't even see over there. All my secrets, that was used by the Vatican to get secrets out of people so the Vatican could control them. Do you realize how many people have been deceived in the millions and millions of people over the past hundreds of years? Since 300? Or whenever they started instituting that practice of confessing your sins to a priest or whatever, another man. That's mind-boggling when you know the truth. We all need the power of God to set us free from sin and hopelessness, from ways of thinking. That's why the Bible tells us we must be transformed by the renewing of our minds. The Holy Spirit's the only one that's going to help us break free and be healed. And you know, just as ailments of our physical body need to be treated with medicine to be healed, well, same is true of our emotions. Even pharmacy, pharmakia, sorcery. Gotta have faith. True faith. One powerful way to fight against depression is to apply and confess God's word as a healing balm, B-A-L-M, in those are the places that you've been wounded. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, begin to confess God's verses for love and forgiveness. You may have, and I heard this past weekend, a couple I met that forgive everybody but couldn't forgive a particular, say, mother-in-law, just never forgive her. I said, well, you've got to forgive everybody. And yourself, too, for not forgiving. You got to forgive yourself for not forgiving. So it makes you feel bad about yourself because you have unforgiveness. So it kills, too. Even if they don't exactly have true right at the moment, the true right that if you feel worthless and confess the scriptures, God's great love for you, kind of a mechanical repeating of words may not do much. But if you deliberately take words that's live and hold on to them for dear life, scriptures, you'll have the enemy on the run. And that's why they try to get rid of the King James Bible. Oh, you're one of those King James onlyists. I said, well, you're one of those anti-King James onlyists. You know, the devil can't stand against the Word of God, the true Word spoken in faith. God's words are like spiritual antibiotics. Destroys the germs and unclean things in your path. We'll close in a prayer that's based on this shortly. Kind of give you an idea. You know, from the physical point of view, the world's point of view, you know, what is it going to take, really? In some of the studies, every minute of every day in the United States, someone has had enough. Their life seems useless or painful, meaningless, hopeless. Someone's mother, father, sister, brother, or grandparent, or friend, a relative of some kind. That's who they are. On October the 4th, 400 people, October the 4th, came together at a place called Kernersville, North Carolina, Triad Park, and shared stories and offer support and raise money to help support the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Supports research to improve the understanding and prevention of suicide. And according to this organization, a life is lost every 13.3 minutes to suicide. That's 40,000 preventable deaths a year in the United States. That event's not covered by local media. Then you add to it the 26 per day that doesn't talk about at all. The statistics don't talk about the military. And then the 26 per day, sometimes it's listed as an accident, not suicide. Satan's got something going. And you know the stigma that's attached to suicide and mental health has kept a muzzle on the kind of discussions and education that could help us save lives of a loved one. In the VA, they say it's the VA hotline. But once you say, I'm going to kill myself, who are you? I'm John Jones. What's your Social Security number? Blah, blah, blah. Blah. Mr. Jones, they've got you in the system as suicide. You're going to be identified. So nobody tells people that. So they're going to hold back because they know they're going to lose their benefits or they may not be able to get a weapon or various reasons. They don't want to be identified as crazy. That's how they look at it on the record. So they're not going to tell anybody. You know, suicide is a 10th leading cause of death for Americans. Cost approximately $34.6 billion a year. Combined medical and lost work. How about those suicides that don't end up being suicides but damaging the body? Now they're in double trouble. So nobody talks about it. They come up with solutions that aren't solutions at all. Now I think what I'll do is when I go into it tomorrow, we'll talk about demonized Christians. It falls right into place. And the importance of confession. You know, you said you couldn't do it, and the moment you said it, you were whipped. You said that you didn't have faith. At that moment, doubt arose like a giant and bound you down. You know, perhaps you didn't realize to a great extent that you're ruled by your words. You talked failure. You put a curse on yourself. It held you in bondage. break those chains. You talk fear, and fear increases its grip on you. Proverbs 6:2. Thou art snared with thy words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Didn't have to listen to Dr. Phil to learn that and understand that. Testifying, witnessing, and confessing. And very few Christians are taught or recognize the importance of confession and the actual place it holds in their lives. So when you talk about confession, oops, there goes the pride. People automatically think of confessing sin or weakness and failure, but it's only the negative side of the subject. You know, the negative confession of our sin was only the open the way to the positive confession of all God's Word. And nothing in our walk as a believer is more important than our confession to God to let Him know that we know what we did wrong. Oh, okay. Now they call it the ego, id, superego. Ego here and ego there. Freud was an avatar. So was Gestalt. Aristotle. They were channeled through the fallen angels to bring these principles to take your mind off confession, to take your mind off of how the Holy Spirit works. Carnegie was Illuminati, the power of positive thinking that lasts only for a short time. This is why they do it. Do you understand this? That's why it came up with positive thinking and terror and Robbins, that Robbins guy. That's what it's all about. To take the place of what I'm telling you tonight. Even got you to walk on the fire. Well, that didn't go over so well for 12 people. Tony Robbins, he had 12 burn, 12 people, 12 times 2, had 24 burned feet. Second, third degree. That little fire extravaganza didn't work so well several years ago. That's assuming they all have 2 feet each. Christianity is called the confession according to the Hebrews chapter 3. Christianity is a religion. Today it's so corrupted, perverted, it's not even, can't even call it a religion. Well, it is a religion, but it's corrupted. Being a Christian is following Jesus. Christianity is following a religion. The Greek word, been translated profession, in the Greek King James Version is rendered confession. To profess and confess. Other cases, the word profession, to profess, as Hebrews 3:1, is confession, confession, or acknowledgement in the original. And these two words are closely related, profess or confess. The difference is very important, though, because the Greek word from which the word confession is translated actually means saying the same thing. That is to say, it means saying what God says or agreeing with God in our testimony. Saying what God says in His Word without about our sins, our sickness, our apparent failures, or our health, or salvation, or our victories, or just about anything else in our lives. In other words, to testify or to acknowledge what God says. So, sickness is pressing to overthrow your health. Symptoms of some foul disease are beginning to appear. Satan is desiring to destroy your health, to render your life ineffective in the Christian service. That's where confession comes into place. We're going to talk about that tomorrow night. Now, what we are to confess, results, what is a wrong confession? We'll talk about those tomorrow. And I'd like to get to tomorrow because I think Thursday and Friday I'm going to be gone. And won't be back till Monday. So I'd like to get through. I may go an hour and a half tomorrow night. I want to get to demonized Christians to pull out of it. So I may go an hour and a half tomorrow night because I'll be gone Thursday and Friday. That'd be a good idea. We'll do that. Y'all agree with that? As if I can see anybody saying yes. Well, family, appreciate y'all coming by tonight. And the suicide is going to, it's going to take a big leap when bad things start happening. If people don't seek Jesus Christ in these coming in times, you only imagine how it is now. You'll wait till times get really bad. Let's close in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you confessing my need for you, crying out to you from the bottom of my heart. Lord, you said that you are near to those whose hearts are breaking, that you give grace to the humble. I humble myself before you now. I cast down any pride or self-justification that I would hide behind, and I present myself to you as I truly am weak and helpless and despairing of my very life. I know there's no other rock but you, and I turn to you with all of my heart. Father, I please forgive my sin. I open myself up to receive your cleansing, your healing, your forgiveness, and your faith. Hope and love into my being. I receive your love as a river, washing over the dry wasteland of my emotions. I see that in your river there's life, and that every place your river touches in me is revival. I cast all my cares, my sorrows, my disappointments into the river, and I let the current of your spirit carry them far away from me. I believe you when you say that you think good thoughts about me and that your plans are to give me future and hope. I believe you when you say that you know who I was even before my mother conceived me and that you wanted me to be alive on this earth right now. Thank you for giving me life. Thank you for working all things in my life for good. Thank you that I can call on your name and you will hear me. Be near me, and thank you for bearing all my weaknesses and diseases on the cross and healing me spirit, soul, and body. And a command against Satan through Jesus Christ. To Satan, I close every door that I've opened to you, and I renounce every activity I've partaken with you. And in Jesus' name, I submit to God. I resist you, command you to flee from me, and the name is in Jesus Christ, as written in James 4:7. I remind you that you were defeated by the power of the cross, and with the authority given to me by Jesus Christ to rebuke you and force you to leave me right now. And to God, Father, to receive your breath of life into my mortal body now, to lift up my hands to you, Lord, to receive it, to fix my hopes on it, turn my life completely over to you. And from this day forth, I pray that you will give me the grace and wisdom to guard my heart diligently, to obey you, to resist every scheme of the enemy. I commit all I am to you. And I have full faith that you are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all I could ever ask or think about. So, Lord, send me the help I need now and show me the way. I thank you for the love that you've lavished upon me. And I pray that for the rest of my life, I will show that same love, mercy, and forgiveness to all those around me. Amen. Those are powerful prayers, family. Whoa. Whole idea is to break those chains. When you break those chains, so you'll be able to live again. It's a whole idea. And Dr. Phil's not going to do it for you. Not going to happen. But we depend on the TV. We depend on these ministries now that are changing and turning on us. And that's what they're doing. I mean, literally. It really kind of started in the 1990s, did it not? It started about 1990s. Is when this began. Of the theologians we used to trust, started changing. And it has a time on it. Well, family, have a good night tonight. God bless you all. I'll be back tomorrow night. We'll continue on. And then it looks like Thursday and Friday won't be live. I'll still be playing, but it won't be live. Looks like Thursday and Friday, both broadcast and Bible study. I'll be leaving probably Thursday midday or so and be back Monday. I may still have a computer, I guess. Going to the mountains. I think they where I'm going to have a computer. Something like that. So family, y'all have a good night. God bless y'all. And family, it's about breaking those chains because you're going to need to when that time comes. Right now it's practice. It's all practice. Well, God bless y'all. And y'all have a good night. God bless you. It's your watchman. I'm signing off.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Woo! To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, you declare it.
There is power.
There is power,
there is power
in the name,
in the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to break it, break every chain, break every chain. Come on, say to
break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.